Good morning. Wonderful to see everybody gathered together this morning. Welcome to our worship service at Flat Springs Baptist Church. I want to share with you the words from Paul in Galatians 6:9. He says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And I hope that is encouraging this morning as we begin our week together with a time of worship. No other way could suffice other than beginning with worship to start our week and hopefully giving us strength and encouragement to continue on doing the work God has given us, and I'm excited for our time together. But before we begin our worship service this morning, I would like to invite anyone that is a guest with us to fill out a guest card. We have those located in the pew directly in front of you. And if you could, fill that out. If it's your first time or if you've been before and haven't filled one out, we would love to have a record of you being with us, and some information would allow us to provide you more information about how God is working through us at our church. A few announcements to make sure we're aware of just a couple things. You'll see some handouts on either side right here. The block party is fast approaching, and plans have come together in a great way. October 11th, and we have flyers there for people to hand out to make sure the word is out, and you're inviting everyone in the community and around the area to come and enjoy that time together that day. Also, there's some information sitting here about Trunk or Treat. That's Sunday, October 26th, the correction in your bulletin there. There's also some information right here and here that explain how that is going to work and how to be involved in that process. And lastly, don't forget to sign up for our Wednesday night suppers. Had a great turnout, and our Wednesday nights have been running well. Love to see all the children and youth during that time. The sign-ups are always in the atrium right here, but make sure you do sign up today. So Ann and company and everyone who is making that happen and possible can have the information they need when they need it. That's all the announcements I have right now, and unless there were any others that didn't make my way in time, let me ask and have everyone bow their heads to have a word of prayer. God, we come before you humbly right now, Lord, beginning the week as you've called us to begin, to worship you, to listen to you guide us and prepare our hearts and our minds for all that is ahead. But God, right now we want our minds and our hearts to be clear, to hear your voice speak to us, Lord, to have your Holy Spirit empower us, God, so we may not grow weary, but we may continue on with the good work you've instilled in us through your Son, Jesus Christ, to proclaim his name through action and through word, with everything that's before us this week, all our conversations, all the responsibilities you've given us, Lord. We want this time to invigorate us, to show us how to continue to worship you throughout the week. And God, we pray this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Now let us spend several moments preparing our hearts for our worship service.
You'll stand and join me in singing hymn number 422. All three verses.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day you have given us, Father, and we thank you for your mercy that you might give us for us undeserving souls. Father, we ask that you bless the sick, be with this church as we grow, and be with the sick that are afflicted today, be with them, make them safe. Father, I ask that you bless this offering for thy kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
give everybody a little extra time to come down. I love seeing you walk down when we're hearing the music play. That's always real nice and exciting. This morning's question, as we're making sure everybody can hear, because I'm going to have to have you think. This morning's question, I actually have three questions, and it's kind of a riddle. Does anybody know what a riddle is? It's a question where the answer may not be as easy as you think. You have to think a little bit. So I'm going to ask you and see if you can get the first one. It's probably one of the more easier ones. The riddle is this: what holds water but is full of holes? And I've actually got the answers right here in my bag to see if you can tell me. Think about this. What holds water but is full of holes? It's kind of a silly question. Can you think of an answer? What if I told you a sponge holds water but is full of holes? Would you agree? There's a lot of holes in a sponge, but it holds water, right? Now, what about the second one? Think about this. What gets wet as it dries? Can you think about that one? These are riddles. What do you think? A towel, absolutely. All right, got a little towel, a little hand towel. As you dry off, the towel gets wet, right? Now, the third one's a little harder, okay? So listen to this one. When I'm full, I can do work all day, but when I'm empty, I can't do any work. What do you think I would be talking about? When I'm full, I can do work all day, but when I'm empty, I can't do any work. What do you think? That's a hard one. What about gloves? What do you think about that? When I'm full, when your hands are in gloves, it can work all day, right? But when they're empty, they can't do anything, right? Those are kind of silly questions that make you think a little bit. They're called riddles. And Jesus, he didn't really ask riddles, but he would ask questions that would make you think. And that's how he would teach a lot of times. He would ask questions to make you think so he could teach you something and teach us something very specific. Well, this time in Matthew 21, someone asks him a question. And instead of giving the answer right away, he wants them to first answer a question that may be a little hard, but really is an answer we all know. So I'm going to read this to you, and then we're going to talk about it, okay? Listen to the question that Jesus asks in Matthew 21, starting with verse 23, okay? Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. And they asked this: by what authority, they're saying, by what power are you doing these things? They're asking Jesus, who gave you the power to perform miracles? Who gave you that authority? Listen to what Jesus said. I will ask you one question, and if you answer me, I'll tell you who gave me the power to do these things. So here's Jesus' question. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it of heaven or human origin? Jesus is asking, hey, do you remember when John baptized me? Was that something God wanted to happen? Or do you think people wanted that to happen? So he's asking, I'll tell you who gave me the power to perform miracles. If you can tell me, did God want John to baptize me, or is that just something people wanted to do? So they discussed it among themselves, and they said, well, if we say from heaven, God did it, they will ask, well, why didn't you believe me? If we say it was a human, people just wanted it to happen, well, we're afraid of that because people hold John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus, I don't know. Then Jesus said, well, neither will I tell you by the power I'm doing these things. Jesus didn't want to tell them, since they couldn't answer, who gave him the power. Do you know who gave Jesus the power? God did, absolutely. We know the answer to that. Our Heavenly Father, God in heaven, gave Jesus the power to perform miracles. And Jesus wanted to teach these people that, but since they wouldn't answer it, they weren't ready to learn. And so this morning, I want us to remember how God always gives Jesus the power to do what he did and to continue to teach us so we can go out and tell other people what we just learned this morning about how God always gives Jesus power to love us, to forgive us, and to teach us. Okay? So let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for teaching us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we know the answer to the question he asked, that you give Jesus power, and we're so thankful for that. Amen. See y'all next week. See y'all next week. It's good to see you.
Okay, so if you've looked at your bulletin, it's right on the board, but it's wrong in the bulletin. Page 52 is what we'll be singing. We'll sing first, second, and last verse of He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought.
by his own hand, he leadeth me as faithful follower I would be. What a prayer. And I just was captured by that as I sang it. His faithful follower I would be. For by his hand he leadeth me. Thank Brad for leading us in our music today in our choir. I told them we needed to get the whole congregation to go back in the choir room and listen to them sing. The acoustics are really good in there, and they were in good voice, and I know they're going to be in good voice again in just a moment. I want to share with you a book that has been donated to our church, From Prayer to Victory, God's Part in Desert Storm, by Major General Randall L. West. Randall actually brought this, and he said, "The Flat Springs Baptist Church, thank you for the prayers that were answered that became a large part of the theme of this book. Y'all are very special to me." And there's several other notes he gives us in here. Randall actually brought this book by us, going in our library, and he wrote this as he was a major leader in both Desert Shield and Desert Storm with the Marines that were stationed there. And we are one of 12 churches that he mentions in this book, and also has decided, and he said, if it makes any profit, all the profits come into the church. So we're praying for a bestseller here, okay? What we need is a bestseller. But Randall will be speaking at our Wild Game Dinner in March. We're looking forward to hearing him. But I thought, why do it here at this moment rather than during the announcements? Was because we need to be reminded that our military, men and women, serve this nation faithfully, and it is a dangerous world. Every time we see the news, we recognize and realize how volatile it is. So in our prayer time today, we want to give thanks. You want to check this book out. I'm not quite through reading it, so it's not going to the library quite yet, but it's going there. I'm almost done. And then it'll be available to you. But be careful with it because of the notes that he has given us on two pages there. I know you'll want to read those as well. Let me invite you also now to look at our prayer concerns that are listed in our bulletin. We certainly would covet your prayers for Rebecca. Rebecca is a patient at the Old Vineyard in Winston-Salem. We saw her yesterday, and just appreciate your prayers for her. Don't know exactly how long she'll be there, but we certainly would covet your prayers for her. Been a very significant person in our community. Mr. Jeter Johnson went to be with the Lord this week, and we want to continue to remember his family in a very special way. We're grateful that Debbie was able to take her treatment. We want to continue to pray for her. I think they also did some markers to see where things are. We want to keep her lifted up in our prayers. And Heather goes back this Friday to see the surgeon that did her open heart surgery. We want to keep her lifted up as she's trying to balance some medicines to keep her comfortable. We want to keep her lifted up. And then you also see Miss Allie McFarland, who will be going on the 16th to UNC Hospital for some testing. We want to keep Miss Allie lifted up. Would you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, as we pray today, I need to confess I'm not always as faithful a follower as I want to be, as I need to be, as I ought to be. And I thank you for your grace. And I am grateful that you continue to extend your own hand to lead me. Leading me in paths of righteousness and through valleys of the shadow of death to your eternal home. Help me to follow more closely. We lift these names of these we have mentioned and ask your blessing to be upon them in a very special way. And ask, oh God, that you might let them know that we love them and remind them that you love them and that your grace is sufficient for all their needs. God, be with us as we continue to speak to you in worship today. May you speak to us. In Christ's name we ask. Thank you, choir. Isn't that wonderfully, wonderfully good news? That even in the valley, God is good. Let me invite you to take your hymn book and open to page 1. That is our text for today. It is the 23rd Psalm. We're going to read it at least twice today, but one, you're going to read it with us as we're going to read it together responsively. Let me invite you to stand now and let us read it responsively as we honor the reading of God's Word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Would you pray with me? O Lord, our shepherd, would you speak to us today that you might lead us by your own hand, even in the valley? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our closing hymn and one correction, or not really a correction, a change, we decided for logistics, because of our ordination today, we're going to go ahead and move the hymn of decision back right after the morning message. That hymn is page 61, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Would you go ahead and mark that there as we will share in that time together. The 23rd Psalm. I'm reminded of a story about a computer programmer who was driving through the country in his convertible one day, and he came across a shepherd leading his sheep across the road, and he had to stop, and he just very quickly did some summation, did a little bit with his computer, and he said, "Sir, I tell you what, if I can tell you how many sheep you've got there, could I have one?" He said, "Why in the world do you want a sheep?" He said, "I just always wanted one. If I could tell you the number, would you give me a sheep?" He said, "Well, yeah, I would. He said, "There's 573 sheep there." He was a little amazed. He said, "Well, that's exactly right." With that, the programmer jumped up, grabbed the animal closest to him, and stuck it in his back seat. And the shepherd looked at him and said, "Well, if I could guess what you do for a living, could I have my animal back?" He thought, "Well, yes, you could. Yeah, that'd be fine." He said, "You're a computer programmer." He said, "I am. How in the world did you know that?" He said, "Well, because I can tell you're real good with numbers, but don't know much about what you're doing. Could I please have my dog back now?" I wonder if we're real good with numbers. And I wonder if we really understand what God is up to. Is the Lord our shepherd? For David, who we're spending a lot of time with, David, the man after God's own heart, David, the greatest ruler Israel ever had, David, the great-grandfather removed of our Lord and Savior, said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Today, do we understand what that means? Or do we just understand the numbers? Did we come to church today because we go to church like a computer programmer? Or did we come today to say, "Shepherd, like a Savior, lead me. Help me make every decision this week differently because I'm here in your presence and I'm worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And I am anxious to make sure my life lines up with your direction."
The question is he our shepherd? What does that look like in everyday life? I love what Jesus said when he was talking about being a shepherd. You remember those words he said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. I have heard from those that have even witnessed this before that sometimes, even today, the shepherds in the Middle East will allow the sheep sometimes to intermingle, maybe three or four shepherds with three or four different flocks of sheep. And they come to the watering area, and suddenly all the sheep, in jockeying for their position at the water hole, will find themselves there, and you would think it's a mess. And yet they say, I've not seen it, but I'd like to see it. They say that when the shepherd gives his call, he gives his word, he gives his command that only his sheep know, suddenly they pull out of all the interminglings and follow their shepherd because they know his voice. Bill Donahue, in a book, Building a Church of Small Groups, tells a story when he was a youth pastor and he was out in a rural area while he was still attending the seminary. And he was visiting the farm where two of his youth lived, and his father decided he'd share a lesson with him. He asked if Bill would come and help him call a sheep. And I enthusiastically agreed, Bill says. Sheep calling was like preaching, I thought. We stood at the pasture fence and gazed at the 25 sheep that were grazing there. Go ahead, he said. Call them in. Well, what do you say, I asked. The farmer said, well, I just say, hey, sheep, come on. No sweat, I thought. A city kid with a bad back and hay fever, I could do this. I began in a normal speaking voice, but Tom interrupted. Now you're 75 yards away, downwind, and they've got their backs to you. Yell, use your diaphragm like they teach you in preaching class. So I took a deep breath, and I put every inch of stomach muscle I had into the yell. I sounded like a revival evangelist. Hey, sheep, come here. And the blessed creatures did not move. They didn't even turn an ear. Tom, the farmer, smiled sarcastically. He says, did they ever teach you about John 10 in seminary? Yes. You remember Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Raising his voice only slightly, he said, Tom, hey, sheep, come here. And immediately all 25 turned and headed to the shepherd. Recognizing God's voice. Let me ask it another way. What did God say to us this past week? Maybe before we leave the sanctuary today, our confession needs to be, oh God, I didn't listen for the shepherd last week. I didn't listen for your voice. I was busy. I felt pretty good about my decision making. I felt like I was okay. I didn't need you, God. I kind of did last week on my own. I wonder if any of us might be brave enough to make that confession. You see, it's easy to hear all the other voices, but we who are sheep, we who are of the shepherd, our shepherd, we need to hear his voice. Well, that's the question. So maybe we could reduce it then to just simply two more questions, both of them cues. The first is, how about our quality of the Lord being our shepherd? What kind of quality is God's leadership in our life? You ever thought about that? Maybe even add another cue, a quantity. What quality and quantity is God's leadership in our life? Do I follow the Good Shepherd, or do I simply talk about it? I read this week an article in a recent Wall Street Journal about workout uniforms or outfits. And let me just share it with you. He says, why work out when you can just buy the clothes and look like you did? The article explores a growing trend in the athletic apparel market. People are buying sporting clothing without actually participating in the sport. The article notes that U.S. athletic apparel market will increase by nearly 50% to more than $100 billion. Now you know why it was in the Wall Street Journal, right? $100 billion at retail by 2020, driven in large part by consumers snatching up stretchy tees and leggings, but they'll never see the fluorescent lights of the gym. For instance, sales of yoga apparel has increased by 45%, but yoga participation has grown by less than 5% during the same time. The trend isn't limited to yoga, the article goes on. Outdoor and camping retailers have debuted new lines of hiking boots and flannel shirts for people who probably have no intention of hiking or camping. Retailers are also rolling out jogging pants and preppy $90 men's running shorts for men who never jog. I wonder. One lady was asked when she was buying the apparel if she worked out. She said, no. But every time I put on that workout apparel, I think, maybe I ought to start working out. I wonder if any of us today might have come to worship saying, I've got a Bible. Folks on the outside say, yeah, he's got a Bible. Yeah, she's got a Bible. I see it. But are we wearing it out? Or toting it around? What is the quality of the Lord is my shepherd in our life? What kind of impact is that having upon our life? It's so easy. As we gather here as a congregation, I think of the potential power of what God could do, what God wants to do, what God will do when we are faithful in His hands and following Him. Like sheep following a shepherd, listening for his voice, and every day with quality and quantity obey God. Which brings me to our final cue, that quest. How am I trying to prove God's leadership? Oh, today, if today we could say, yes, I really think God could lead me more. I really believe God could have a greater impact in my decision making. God could have a greater impact in where I go and what I do and how I speak to others and how I influence other people. Then it can become a quest. Only when our quality and quantity equal the quest. Let me ask it another way. We all understand that scale of 1 to 10, right? That 1 to 10 scale, with 1 being seldom or never, and 10 being always and forever. What is the Lord's leadership looking like in our life, in our daily decision making? I don't know if you're like me, but I have on occasion, and again, confession is good for the soul. I've walked away from a conversation that I've had with someone, maybe even a family member, and I wasn't very happy. You ever been not very happy? And when I walked away, I began to think as though the Holy Spirit pricked my heart. Say, you know, you were getting angry and you never once prayed. You never sought me to be your shepherd. You never let me lead you by still waters. You never let me restore your soul. You just got angry by yourself. And you were disobedient sheep. And you said things you shouldn't have said. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me. We're on a quest. Or I wonder if today we might say, maybe I could do better. Maybe I need to do better. For just a moment, as we come to conclusion, I want us to look at some key words and thoughts in the 23rd Psalm and go back to my first point, some questions that maybe we could ask, some questions that could make a difference. I've asked Matt if he would just to stand here before you, and he's going to read the 23rd Psalm, but he's only going to read a section of it. And then I'm going to ask a question that might help us see how we're doing on the quest. To answer these questions could well help us follow the shepherd, make him the shepherd of our life. The 23rd Psalm, man.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Is the Lord my shepherd?
I shall not want.
Do I desire more than... Do I not desire more than God is my shepherd? Do I really not want for other things?
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
Does our relationship with God make us do anything differently?
He leads me beside still waters.
Does God lead me in daily decision making?
He restores my soul.
Do we search for the restoration of our souls in God or in worldly things?
He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake.
Are we following God in the moment by moment pursuit of doing the right thing?
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Do we trust God in the valleys of life and find our peace in God's ability, or do we instead do it ourselves and trust our own strength?
For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Do we really understand God is always with us?
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Do we trust God's provision for our life when we face the tough times, those enemies?
You anoint my head with oil.
Does our life emit the fabulous aroma of God's anointing for the entire world to smell?
My cup overflows.
Does the filling of the Holy Spirit overflow from us into other people's lives?
Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Do we experience the goodness and the mercy of God in our worship?
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Are we aware each day that we were created for forever? Thank you, man. Our question is, the Lord our shepherd? In just a moment, we're going to ordain two that our church has elected, and we're going to ask them to serve as leaders, and we are trusting that those and the other members of the diaconate that serve with them are allowing God to be their shepherd. Every Sunday when we come into our classes can be so strong when our teachers are allowing God to be their shepherd. And our outreach leaders are allowing God to be our shepherd. And our class members are allowing God. And each day when we come to worship, we call ourselves back at the shepherd's voice to come to a place where there's green pastures and still waters, that He might restore our soul, that we might be His sheep. His people, they're on a quest with quality and quantity to answer the question, is the Lord my shepherd? Oh, yes, He is. He's good all the time. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank You for this moment of worship today. And now as we come to a moment of decision, we're going to sing, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. But help us not to sing that while all the time thinking, but I will lead myself. I'll make my own decisions. And I'll only wear the sheep's clothing. But I won't genuinely work out like a sheep. Oh God, speak to us where we are, where our life is at this exact moment, that the decisions we make will lead us from this place under your direction. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 61, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for Him, we would invite you to do that, whether public or private, as we stand together.
Serve, and they are willing to serve. And so today, we come by the practice of the early church that has been passed down even to today to set them apart by the laying on of hands and to ordain them into the role in the ministry and the church leadership position of deacon. It is a big responsibility, and neither one of them has entered into this lightly. And so now, in our worship, we think it appropriate to set them apart. And by doing so, and in these words, we promise to pray for them. Let me remind us that when we don't pray for our leaders, it is and can be catastrophic. And so, all of us together are the sheep of our master, but we walk together, and this day, we are setting these two apart to serve us as under-shepherds, as servants of the Lord, to lead our congregation. And they stand with the rest of our diaconate that we have elected to serve and ask God to direct them. And so it is a recommitment of that spiritual role, that biblical role that we will lead again. So in a moment we're going to read this responsibility. church to come by and lay hands on them as well. And during that time, we set them apart for the work that is before them. So now, if you turn and follow in the readings, and of course, it's a congregation that you, the rest of us, will follow soon. Today, we come to set apart Randy Keck and John Quiddle to serve as a deacon for our church. The role of deacon is twofold in its purpose. First, a deacon is a servant. The Greek word for deacon means servant. A deacon must serve the Lord by being a servant for the church. When the diaconate serves communion, they are in worship taking the role of a servant. Secondly, the role of a deacon is one of a leader. The church has expressed confidence in both Randy and John as leaders. Their new role will be that of a servant leader.
I understand the church has set us apart to serve as deacons. I'm committed to accept the role of servant leader. I will do my best to serve the Lord through the role as a deacon at Flat Springs Baptist Church.
Welcome Randy and John to serve with us as members of the diaconate. We promise to pray for them, encourage them, and work with them as together we serve the Lord by serving as the diaconate of Flat Springs Baptist Church.
We serve apart Randy and John to serve our church as deacons. We commit to pray for them and all of those who serve on our diaconate, that we may serve our Lord together as one congregation, brothers and sisters in Christ.
Congregation, you may be seated. Randy, John, I would invite you to leave the laying on. set apart publicly to the office and the work of deacon. The commitment is to pray when we seek the shepherd's leadership in our life. And as we continue to move into the future that God has for us, we are excited that God will use all of us for this work. I want to ask John and Randy to stand with me. I know you'll want to come by and express your appreciation for their willingness to serve and your commitment to pray for them as they continue to lead as many have gone before us, leading our church to allow God to be our shepherd. Would you stand with me? And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be his sheep in the midst of all the sheep. God, thank you for this day. And help us to continue all week to answer that question, are you our shepherd? And would you lead us by thy own hand? In Christ's name we pray.
Yeah.